And Lord willing, next Sunday evening, we'll wrap up this study on the throne. And then after that, it's Christmas messages. It's that most wonderful time of the year again, I guess. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you were to describe eternity in one word, what adjective would you use to describe it? Consider eternity for a minute. Pick one word that will adequately, if possible, describe eternity. What would it be? Glorious, that's good. It certainly will be that. Forever, certainly, as we deal with the time element of eternity, it will last forever. Anything else? How about uncertain? How many of you know for sure what eternity is going to be like? You know for certain? Have you experienced it already?
Where I'm going to be.
Ah, but you don't know all that's involved about it. There's a certain amount of uncertainty to eternity. How about boring? I heard one fellow some time ago when talking about eternity saying that the idea of hanging around playing harps and singing praises to God was boring to him, and that he really wasn't interested in doing that. And I thought to myself, with that kind of a hard attitude, you won't have to worry about it, because you won't be. But if I were to pick one word that describes eternity, I would use the word perfection. Now let me tell you why. Turn in your Bibles with me tonight. We want to do a study in Revelation chapter 22. But I need to start off with the verse in Revelation chapter 21. And it's the first verse. So Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. We are coming to the end of time here. The tribulation period has passed. The millennial kingdom has passed. Satan has been loosed out of his bottomless pit. He's gone out to deceive the nations. Fires come down from heaven, destroyed him. There has been the great white throne judgment, and everything has been subdued. Christ has become all in all. He's delivered the kingdom up to the Father, and now it's time for eternity. Verse 1, Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." We have here God's creation of a new heaven and earth. How did God describe the creation of the first heaven and earth? He did not say it was perfect. Close. But back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." Why wasn't it perfect? There's one answer to the question. Because within the creation, which included the angelic realm and mankind, there was the opportunity for sin to enter in. At this point in time, man had not sinned. I don't believe Lucifer had rebelled against the authority of God. Consequently, God could say everything very good. But I've created man. I've created the angelic realm with the capability of rebelling against my authority. And therefore, I can't say that it is perfect. It's very good, but it's not perfect. However, in Revelation chapter 21, Satan has been judged along with the demonic realm. Rebellious mankind has been judged and sentenced justly forever and ever in a lake of fire. Mankind that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ has been redeemed. And now we have a new heaven and a new earth. Mankind is confirmed in their condition, that mankind will never sin again. And consequently, I think the word perfect can be applied to the new heaven and new earth in eternity. Now that brings us to Revelation chapter 22. And I want us to consider five aspects of perfection in eternity. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In eternity, there is going to be coming from the throne of God a river of water of life. And that water of life speaks of the eternal life that we will enjoy. I would suggest to you, by the language here, we could say this pictures perfect life. Life without sin and its hindrances and its corruption, without sin and its sorrows. I meant to mention this morning in my message at the very end, I didn't have it written in my notes. I thought for sure when I was composing the message and going over it this morning that I would remember. Well, that's a bad thought. But I was sitting down to watch some TV the other night. It was just a little bit before 8 o'clock. Got in my recliner back in our bedroom, and I laid back, hit the old remote control. The TV comes on, and I started going through the channels to find out what was on, which is usually what happens, and I go and go and go and go and find nothing. But I came to channel 63, Court TV, and I found the last couple of minutes of that classic program, Cops. What you going to do when they come for you? And here was this woman being arrested who had a little baby. And apparently she had neglected the baby. I didn't see what had come before it, but they were arresting her. And the mother was crying, and, you know, they're taking me away, and they're going to take me away from my baby. And they were showing that. And I thought, certainly this mother, by her reactions to being separated from her child, is making a statement that she loves her child. But in that she neglected her child, she made a bigger statement. I love myself more than I am willing to endanger my child. Neglect it. And I thought, well, I think, Reiner, you hit that one right on the head. And then the Holy Spirit hit me on the head. That's what happens every time you sin. Oh, we say that we love you, Lord. But when we sin, what we're really saying is we love ourselves more at that particular time. Here is life without sin. Here is a river of pure water. No artificial stuff in it. No contaminants. No minerals. Perfectly filtered, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God. Can you imagine what life is going to be like without sin? We're so used to it. We're accustomed to it. And even if it's not evident in our own lives, we live in a sinful world. And I was talking with someone the other day. One of my fears of growing old, and I realize I have a long time until that's going to happen. I'm glad I didn't hear that. That's what happens when you get old, you lose your hearing. One of my fears that has happened to many people as they grow old, they lose some of their inhibitions. And I'm afraid that I'll start saying some things that I would be awfully embarrassed about. Not because they're part of my language or not part of the stuff that I'm constantly exposing myself to, but stuff that I'm constantly exposed to. I can't go anywhere and not hear that kind of language, or not necessarily the words, but the subjects. And I'm really afraid of having to deal in my latter years with saying things that I'll be embarrassed about. Now, I won't be in my right mind. You could say that's true already, but that's another story. But wouldn't life without sin be perfect? I think that's what verse 1 is talking about. In verse 2, I see perfect enjoyment. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, the picture is hard to understand. Apparently, you have a city, and in the midst of the city is a throne, and from the throne is a river, and it intersects a street, And in the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there's a tree. Bible commentators have tried various ways of describing it, and no one really came up with a suitable explanation for me. I don't quite understand exactly the way things are arranged here. But nonetheless, you have this tree of life. Now, in verse 1, you had a river of life. Here you have a tree of life. And this tree of life bare 12 manners of fruits, and it yielded her fruit every month. I don't know if that's a different fruit every month or if it's all 12 and they reproduce itself every month. But nonetheless, here's a tree that's producing various different fruits year round. Never goes out of season. When I was a young boy, my parents had two peach trees. And man, those peach trees produced peaches, and oh, were they good. But it lasted for a couple of weeks in August, and we harvested the peaches and we froze them, but they only lasted for a short period of time because I like fruit. See, it's not vegetables, but... And I especially like peaches, and they were really, really good. Here's a tree that could be enjoyed year-round. Various fruits, it would never get old. I go back to the Garden of Eden. Remember what was in the garden? There were trees that were bearing fruit. And the Lord said to Adam and Eve, here's this whole garden that you can enjoy. There's all kinds of fruits, and I guess there were even vegetables in there. And you're allowed to eat of the fruit of any of the trees except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That you can't have. But all the other fruits, they're there for your enjoyment. They're there for your fulfillment. And here, in eternity future, is going to be a tree of life. Perfect enjoyment. You know, there was never a time, I don't think, in the Garden of Eden before sin had entered in that Adam came home from work one day and he said to Eve, what's for supper? And she said, well, we're having pears or we're having bananas. And he would say to her, oh, we had that just the other day. Can't we have something different? I don't think that ever happened. I think there were plenty there to choose from. There was a variety, and every day they were quite satisfied with the fruits that they had to eat. And I think there will be perfect enjoyment of eternity. I don't think there's going to be a boring day to be found. It says here, not only is there fruit that's being yielded by this tree every month, but the leaves of the tree are for the healing. The word healing there is the Greek word therapeo. We get our English word therapeutic from it. It doesn't have the idea of curing illnesses, because as we'll see in just a moment, there won't be any illnesses in eternity future. This is a perfect place. So it's not recovering from something. I think it's more in the lines of preventing things. But one author, commentator that I read, said that the leaves here are for the curing of past memories, sorrows of time gone by. That, you know, what are we going to do in eternity future when we realize that a loved one's not there? Well, possibly it could be the leaves of this tree are for the healing or the therapy of these past memories, and it will allow us to perfectly enjoy eternity future, even with the knowledge that there might be some not there that we wish would be. Nonetheless, perfect life, perfect enjoyment. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There will be perfect accomplishment. In the first garden that God placed Adam and Eve, he gave them work to do. Work is a four-letter word, but it was not part of the curse. Work was to be enjoyable in the garden. Adam and Eve were to go out and they were to till the ground. They were to keep the garden. And I think after a good day's work, they were quite satisfied with what they did. The work was relatively easy. Work is always work, but I think as we read later on, as God placed the curse upon the garden, he said to man, it's by the sweat of your brow that you'll bring forth these things. The ground's going to produce thorns as well as the fruits that you want. To woman, I am going to increase your sorrows in childbearing. That was part of the curse. The accomplishments that mankind produce weren't always perfect. We read that there was death with some in giving birth. For example, with the birth of, my mind just went blank, Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin. Rachel died. Not a perfect accomplishment. I was going to, or was thinking about possibly turning this morning as we were looking at the depravity of sin to John chapter 5. And there was a man who for 38 years of his life had an infirmity. Well, sickness had entered in. That's all part of the curse. The man's accomplishments weren't perfect. But here in verse 3, we find that the curse is lifted. Now, during the millennial kingdom, the curse was lifted somewhat, but we still had sinners in the world. When mankind sinned, God was going to rule with a rod of iron, and there was even death in the millennial kingdom to the unrighteous. But here in eternity future, there won't be death. It will have been eliminated. There won't be sinners. The curse will be completely gone. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in the midst of it, and His servants shall serve Him. Some object to this and say, well, we're not going to be servants anymore. We're going to be sons. So this has to be referring to somebody else. But may I suggest to you that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the very Son of God, was also the servant of the Most High God. And it will be an honor to serve Him. I don't understand exactly what there's going to be to do in eternity future. I don't quite understand it, but somehow there is going to be satisfying work and accomplishments to be gained that will be perfect. And in doing those things, God will be glorified. Perfect life, perfect enjoyment, perfect accomplishment. I was working on a game this week. I want to encourage you, if you're not signed up for the Christmas banquet at Hoss's next Monday, get signed up. We're going to play this game. How many of you are familiar with the TV program Don't Forget the Lyrics or The Singing Bee? You've seen it? We're going to play a version of that. Oh, it's going to be fun. But I worked on that thing. It's on a PowerPoint presentation, and I worked on it. It took me more than a day to compose the thing. I downloaded music and I edited music and I looked up the lyrics to the song and I typed things in, and after I got it, I had to go back and through and time the song so that the slides changed to the music. And after I got it all done, I wanted to send a copy of it to the kids out in Illinois, and I thought, well, I can't send these WAV files. They're too big. I have to cut them down, so I had to convert all the files to MP3s to make it a smaller thing. Well, then when I converted them to MP3s, I realized that the link to the files had to be changed, and I had to go back and do it all over again. And when it was all said and done, I was happy with it, but, oh, I was exhausted. My accomplishments weren't perfect. And then after I finally did email the thing, I found out I did the wrong song, one song incorrectly. Perfect accomplishment. Verse 4, perfect fellowship. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in His foreheads. Remember back in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah got a glimpse of the glory of Christ, and he said, oh, woe is me. He barely could look at God. Moses wanted to look at God, and God said, look, you can't see all of my glory. I'll let you see my back parts, but you can't look at my face, because if any man looks at my face, they're going to die. In eternity future, we will be able to see the face of God. We will be able to see God in all His glory and live. To be able to see God in His complete essence, and to talk with Him. Not to fear of death, not to be afraid of judgment, but to talk as a friend talks with a friend. To fellowship with Him. And not only that, His name shall be on our foreheads. Now, I don't think that means it's literally tattooed across there. It just means that when He looks at us, He's going to see His Son in us. He's going to know us as His own. There's going to be no doubt, as, you know, I was dealing with a person the other day, and they made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I looked at their life and I said, I don't think so. And it left me in a state of confusion. Is this a child of God or is this a sinner? In eternity future, there's going to be no doubt about that. His name will be right there written on the foreheads of others, and we will know with absolute certainty the identity of one another, and He will know with absolute certainty our relationship with Him, and we will know Him, and there will be that perfect fellowship. How many times in time have you wondered if God is really out there? Now, not have you doubted His existence, but have you felt all alone? Have you felt like, well, you know, God's up there in heaven, and I know He's omnipresent and omnipotent and all those other omni things. But you really wonder if He cares for you. You know, life's a struggle, and is He really out there? In eternity future, there will be perfect fellowship. You'll never have a doubt. Verse 5, perfect understanding. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Light in Scripture is always that which illumines the way or brings understanding. What will we know in eternity future? Well, we will have perfect understanding. Perfect understanding of who God is, because we'll be able to see Him in all His glory. Perfect understanding of the perfection of His will in time. How many of you scratch your head and say, I know all things work together for good, but I can't quite figure this one out? We'll understand. My wife has said that when she gets into glory, the first thing she's going to do is go up to Eve and have a talk with her. Right? Or was that the second thing? I think I'm going to be the first. We'll understand why things went the way they went, why God allowed certain things to come into our lives, and how the plan of God actually did work out. We'll understand with absolute comprehension everything that's found in the Word of God. We'll know Him. And we're not going to need a sun to illumine our way, nor a candle or a lamp or anything else, for God Himself will illumine us. And then the end, and we shall reign with that perfect understanding forever and ever. Question, reign over what? Well, let's see, there's not going to be any nations, because we will be all one people. There's not going to be any unsaved, because we will just reign over a new heaven and a new earth. I don't understand that now, but I will then, because I will have perfect understanding. So will you. Now you're saying, well, that's an interesting study on eternity, but what does that have to do with the throne of God? Well, let's go back. This water of life proceeds from the throne. This tree of life is around the throne. There is no more curse because there is a throne. We will reign with Him. And where will we reign? From His throne. May I say to you that everything that is perfect centers around the throne of God. Everything that is perfect centers around the throne of God. Now, we will only understand that absolute perfection in eternity future, but may I say to you, the principle still applies today. Everything that will be perfect in your life centers around the throne of God and His rule in your life today. You want perfection? Do you want absolute righteousness, goodness, life, enjoyment, accomplishment, fellowship, understanding? Make the throne of God central in your life and you'll enjoy it as much as it can be today. Everything that is perfect centers around the throne of God. and it will for eternity. Let's pray. Father, tonight as we consider what lies before us, encourage us in the time that we have now. Father, I'm thankful that because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, one day I will be with you, and I'm thankful for each and every one that's here tonight that has trusted you as Savior, that they can say the same thing because of the merits of what Christ did for us on Calvary's cross, that we can stand redeemed for all eternity as sons and as servants. Lord, may we look forward to dwelling with you in perfect life and perfect enjoyment and perfect accomplishment and perfect fellowship and perfect understanding. But may the throne of God also be central in our lives today. That is, to the best of our abilities and to the extent that you allow us to understand those things now and use them for your honor and glory. And then one day forever and ever to reign with you. Lord, give us opportunity this week to reach out to someone who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ and share with them how Christ died for them on Calvary's cross, that they might too know the perfect life and accomplishments and perfections of the glories of God. Lord, bring us back at the appointed time, especially as we think of this week and the giving of thanks. May we come back for our giving thanks service. And just declare in a public way how great you are. To that end and for that purpose, we pray in the very precious name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Good week.